You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Texas Rangers. I'm Allison Footer from MLB.com, here with my colleague, Richard Justice. Richard, we had picked, well, not we, I don't want to drag you into this. My ridiculous prediction was that the Texas Rangers won the offseason, and they were going to march toward another World Series contention. So I guess there are teams that cannot recover from injuries when it comes to basically every position being decimated by injury. So I guess they just kind of, you know, wipe this off as a lost year. And what do? Do they make a lot of changes in the offseason, or just wait for guys to get healthy?
Well, on opening day, I was in the tank for John Daniels, their general manager, and their manager, Ron Washington. I'm still in the tank for them. And I think that when they get the team they intended to have back on the field, I agree with you that John Daniels won the offseason. No GM addressed his needs better than John did. Shin-Soo Chu at the top of the lineup, Prince Fielder in the middle of the lineup, and everybody got hurt. Everyone has been hurt. They're going to have all kinds of pitching coming back. And then over the next few days, I think their biggest decision is Adrian Beltre, the third baseman. Do you trade him? He is still a premier player defensively and offensively. He's declined a little defensively. I think they're going to trade Alex Rios before the trade deadline. But Beltre, Beltre being traded would mean you give your best prospect, Joey Gallo, the position next year, and I don't think they want to do that. And I think the way they're in a win-now mode still, and I think the moves they make are going to be very modest. I think they just want to get Martin Perez and Robbie Ross and all those guys back on the field next year and see how good they are. And I think we're having this conversation opening day next year. We might be picking the Rangers again. We're joined now by T.R. Sullivan at MLB.com. He's covered the Texas Rangers for a long time. T.R., I want to start with the subject of John Daniels. There was a columnist in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that wrote a brutal column on John that basically ripped him for the performance of the Rangers. I said this to J.D. in a text message, in an email. I said, maybe you should have prepared to have 20 starting pitchers. I mean, it's incredible to me what's happened to the Rangers, that they've used 51 players. I think they're the first team ever to use 50 players and 30 pitchers before the break, and they've used 12 starting pitchers. Overall, how would you evaluate the job John Daniels has done?
Well, you know, he built two World Series contenders, so he didn't get dumb overnight any more than Ron Washington got dumb overnight. I mean, if you look through history, you see great teams have bad years. And, you know, I hate to show my age, but I remember the New York Yankees in 1979, they were coming off two World Series, and then unfortunately Thurman Munson died and Rich Gossage broke a thumb in a fight with Cliff Johnson. And, you know, they had a bad season. Next year they won 100 games. And you can go through all of baseball and see teams that just have a horrible year. You know, was there more that they could have done? Have mistakes been made? Sure. Did they have enough pitching depth? Probably not. But, you know, they signed Tommy Hansen right before spring training, and I thought that was a good move, but he didn't pan out. You know, they went out and got Joe Saunders. You know, that didn't quite work out as good. So I think they knew they were going to need more pitching. I think some of the mistakes they made were putting some of their relievers in the rotation. I think that hurt them. You know, they might have been able to get more starting pitching depth going into the season. You know, and the other one that hurt them was how hard did they go after Nelson Cruz? You know, nobody really knows for sure. You know, everybody says one thing or another. You know, you can look at a couple of things and say, hey, they should have done this better. They should have been more attentive to this. But, you know, I don't know if anybody could have predicted Prince Fielder. He certainly couldn't have predicted Jerks and Profar breaking down. You know, nobody predicted Derek Holland was going to fall over his dog. You know, this is just been so many different things that have happened that it's impossible to have prepared for everything. I mean, you know, you get Kevin Kuzman off his depth for Adrian Beltre at third base. He has two great weeks and then, you know, has to have back surgery and is out for the year. So when you look at it, you know, it's been the perfect storm. Some of it could have been prevented or prepared for. Others, you know, you just have to say, this is not our year.
Yeah, it's not our year. Let me ask you about, I was going to ask you two things. One, the silver lining. Roughneck Odor, I mean, he has been one of the good news, because otherwise he doesn't even get a sniff of the big leagues this year, I take it. Where does he fit into the plan going forward? Because I assume they think Profar will play second and Andrus will play short next season. What's this kid done for his standing in the organization?
He's done a tremendous job. I mean, you know, last couple of games in Yankee Stadium, he's played excellent baseball. I mean, started a couple of tough double plays, got some big hits. You know, it's like possession is 9/10 of the law. I mean, he's got the job right now. I mean, Profar had it, supposedly had it, but he lost it. You know, you want to bring up the old Wally Pitt thing, but I think that's what you got here right now. I think it's Odor's job. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, everything stands pat, and we have no idea what's going to happen in the offseason, but I wouldn't be surprised if Jerickson Profar plays at AAA next year.
The other guy I wanted to ask you about was the other side of the diamond, Elvis Andrus. Is there disappointment about the way he's played? How does the organization evaluate him since the moment they gave him the big contract 2 years ago?
They grade him too strictly. You know, Elvis Andrus is who he is. I mean,
right.
You know, came up here as a young kid. He's a 270, 280 hitter, plays solid defense, can run, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of power. That's why he was in 2009 when he first got here. That's where he was on two World Series teams, and he's still that way. And I think people thought he was going to just get better and better and better every year. And now I think people saying he's plateaued. Well, you know, that's what he is. I mean, this is who your guy is. He was good enough to play on a World Series team. You know, is he having a great year this year? No, nobody is. You know, and it's tough to do. But I think everybody was expecting him to just keep blossoming into Derek Jeter. Well, there's only one Derek Jeter. I mean, the guy's got 3,500 hits. He just passed Luke Gehrig for most doubles in the Yankees history. I mean, you know, just because you got a good young player doesn't mean he's just going to grow into the next Derek Jeter or the next Cal Ripken. I mean, Elvis Andrus is who he is. He's a solid player. He can hit a little bit. He can bunt a little bit. He can steal a little bit. He can play defense. And if you're expecting more, you're grading too strictly. That's my opinion.
And Adrian Beltre is signed for next year and has a vesting option for 2016. In your opinion, as we head toward the trade deadline, do they intend to keep him? And is it important to keep him in terms of what he brings as far as presence goes in leadership in the clubhouse? What do you make of Adrian Beltre?
Well, number one, the thing people have to understand is the Rangers are not going to go into a Houston Astros like Chicago Cubs long-term rebuilding.
Right.
The Rangers are going to next year trying to win. So when people say, well, it's time to dump Alex Rios, well, who's going to play right field next year? Hey, it's time to dump Adrian Beltre. Who's going to play third base next year? It cannot be Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo cannot play third base. That guy's going to strike out 40% of the time this year or some ridiculous number. I mean, he's got 32 home runs. The strikeouts are out of this world, too. So if you want to contend next year, you need to have a third baseman with power who's competing for a batting title, who can drive in 100 runs, play reliable defense. If it's not going to be Beltre, you got to go find that guy. And if it's not going to be Rios, you got to go find those guys, because the Rangers do not have replacements for those two guys in their farm system. So when you say, well, it's time to unload everybody, they're not going to do that because they, unless they get a great deal in return, because they're going to try to win next year.
And the other thing, TR, and then when you've had so many players hurt, I don't think it matters, but we made a lot of Michael Young leaving, and how would leadership evolve in the clubhouse? Who are the men in the clubhouse? How has the leadership evolved in the wake of Michael not being a Ranger anymore?
It's Adrian Beltre. I mean, Adrian Beltre is the godfather of the clubhouse. I mean, he's got his, you know, Elvis Andrus, Alex Rios. You know, there's a lot of good guys in that clubhouse, but more of them are just young guys trying to survive in the league, as Ron Washington says. But the undisputed leader of this team is Adrian Beltre, and he's the guy who's trying to hold this thing together in the clubhouse.
And TR, do you have an optimism? Just, you know, the organization up and down. Do you have a feeling that they are going to be good enough to go to the postseason on opening day next year? If they just get their guys back and can keep them on the field for the whole year.
No, they're going to have to get some starting pitching in here. Let's just say Derek Holland should be 100% next year, and Darvish should be 100%. I mean, that's it. I mean, you'd like to think Nick Tepish could develop into a starter. that's been a slow process. You know, Martin Perez is going to be ready until the All-Star break next year at the earliest. You know, Matt Harrison, you know, a great pitcher when he's healthy, but nobody knows if he's going to be able to come back from this back injury. You know, Kobe Lewis, you know, God bless him, he's probably coming to the end of the line. You know, if they're going to contend next year, I think they'll have the bullpen pieces. I think if Fielder comes back, I think they'll have the offense if they keep Rios, get Fielder back, and probably add another bat. Probably need one more bat. But they're going to have to get at least a couple of starting pitchers this winter. And I don't know if they're going to go out and spend for somebody like John Lester or James Shields or somebody like that, or, you know, trade for somebody or hope to get lucky. But for them to be contenders at the beginning of next season, they need to find at least two good starting pitchers somewhere.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. And I appreciate your time, TR. Great work as always. TR Sullivan of MLB.com.